Professional anglers are always looking for an edge. And with me today is Kim Stricker. And Kim, you know, you're a professional angler, had a lot of success across the years and fishing the FLW trail and bass trails. But there's a new edge that you're getting and I think is going to be paying some big dividends for you. And that's the filming underwater and getting to look at these bass in their native habitats.
That's it. I wish I would have just started it 15 years ago because it definitely has helped me.
Well, let's talk a little bit how that happens. I mean, I've seen your work. It's absolutely exceptional. And watching a fish strike a bait, a lot of the things, and we'll get into that in the show here. But one of the cool things about it is not only are you doing this and filming it and trying to sell your wares a little bit, but you're also learning in the process, I would think.
Absolutely. What it's done, it's intensified that thinking like a fish process. I can picture in my mind much more clearly as what is actually going on beneath the surface.
Well, you know, if you look at this thing and you think about it, you know, a bass has a brain about the size of a half of a thumbnail. And, you know, I think we give him credit for being a lot smarter, but he's a reactionary type animal and he, you know, follows forage and some of those kind of things. And I'm sure you're able to see that in action underwater.
Definitely. And you mentioned the forage. Not only do I see how the fish relate to all the structure, but I also look at the forage and how they relate to it. You know, for instance, common knowledge tells you that a bass is edge-oriented, and I've been able to observe a lot of smallmouth this last year relating to the sand grass up in these northern lakes. You know, you see them cruise the edges, but it's not just because of them being edge-oriented. When I'm down there looking, I can see that that's where the bait is more exposed and vulnerable. The crayfish get inside that sand grass, but once they peek out on the sand a little bit, that's where they're vulnerable, and that's why the fish cruise along there.
Well, as you look at this thing now, let's talk about bait selection a little bit. I mean, as you're doing the underwater photography and you watch how, you know, shad turn and twist and work together and all that kind of stuff, is there bait selection criteria that you are able to garner from that, or how do you work that? I mean, are you changing your baits a little bit based on that?
Well, a little bit. You mentioned the bait. I've got a new bait out that Schubert's Lures out of Allegan, Michigan is making. It's a new soft plastic jerk bait called the Strychnine Shiner. I don't know where we got that strychnine from, but I've studied soft plastic jerk baits and how they work, how they fall, how they dart, how fish take them and hold on to them or spit them out, and we've kind of developed soft plastic jerkbait that's really producing.
Well, I kid you a lot because not only do you have a paint business, but you're a professional angler. Now you've got the video business. And on top of that, a musician to boot. You know, all those things, man, that's got to be, you got to be, you know, multimillionaire with money just coming in through the door.
Yeah, right. Master of all trades. I mean, jack of all trades, master of none.
Well, tell me a little bit about how all this stuff is coming together for your video business.
Well, it's coming together very well. Things are kind of growing here. One thing recently that I'm real excited about is that I've been asked to be a small part of the FLW Outdoors broadcast. What I'm doing is I'm going to get wet, jump in the water directly following every FLW event, and capture underwater video of the tournament-winning structure, the fish relating to that structure, and we're going to recreate the tournament-winning lures and how they were presented during the tournament, and I think that's going to be an integral part to the broadcast and something that you're not seeing anybody else going through the trouble to get, and I think viewers will love it.
Well, you know, there's no question, you know, that FLW doing a great job with their new Fox affiliation, and a lot of things have been brought to light there, but this thing ought to be awesome because, you know, we visualize as anglers maybe how a bait runs or how it's ticking the top of grass or whatever that may be, but to actually see that, that's going to be unbelievable.
That will be. In fact, this coming Sunday, that's May 7th, the broadcast, that's 11 o'clock Eastern time, was the Beaver Lake Walmart Open. And what you'll see on there is the spotted bass and largemouth working through the standing timber. I got some real good stuff of that. And I think the following weekend we're showing the smallmouth guarding the nest because the smallmouth, right towards the end of the tournament, started to come up in bed. And some of the anglers may not have realized that. They'll be a little surprised to see.
Well, I gotta ask you a couple things. Number one, it comes to mind is Beaver Lake, very, very clear water, but I want to bring you to the Mississippi River and let you really do some diving there. You know, you'll get some 1 inch, you'll have to be 1 inch from the fish to see him. I mean, is there going to be some restrictions to you for that?
Absolutely. If the visibility isn't there, you know, I'm going to try to find the clearest water I can, and I mean, you can get some film in 3 or 4 or 5 foot of visibility. You just got to be up close on what you're looking at. But obviously, a place like Beaver Lake, it's gin clear. It's a great place to film. I'm really looking forward to filming Lake Champlain.
Well, the angler's coming out in me here in this interview. I want you to know that because I'm going to ask you questions that it's just driving me crazy. You know, these fish, when I've seen the photography you've done and watch you in action, you're not that far from them. We always talk about fish being kind of finicky, spooky, some of that kind of stuff. Have you noticed maybe during the spawn they're more so, but, I mean, you can swim right with them, can't you?
It's funny you mentioned the spawn thing. I sometimes find they're even more close during the spawn, but yes, each set of fish had their own personalities, but smallmouth really seem to be less spooky, more friendly, a little more curious in you too.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I know you've done some summer shooting, and, you know, we always think about fish kind of relating by size in the summer, and they'll get out on ledges and do some of that. Have you noticed that? Is that something you've seen?
Oh, absolutely, and suspended fish. In my video, you've got one section where we released a smallmouth over my shoulder, and I followed it. We were catching them up on this 12-foot feeding flat, and I just thought I'd follow this fish out, and we went out and out and out and out. It was a slow tapering break, but I got out in about 24 foot of water, and I looked up in the air, and looked up at about 12 foot of water, and that fish took me out to the mother load. I mean, there was 50 bass suspended, 50 smallmouth, and all 3-pounder better ones. And with every turn of my camera, I had 17, 18 pound livid in the view screen.
Well, you know, you're a smallmouth aficionado, love the smallmouth fish, and I got to think that now that you've seen how they react and how they work in the Great Lakes area where you live, you know, and up there in some of the great fisheries you have, you've probably taken that and been able to parlay that in other locations.
Well, definitely, all over the country. You know, you mentioned my water up here. You know, you look at the things like the zebra mussels, how that's affected the Great Lakes and stuff, and they're bad news. But they have cleared the water up, making my job a little easier to do. But yes, to answer your question, I've been able to parlay it all around the country. And my tournament fishing this year is kind of proof of it, I think.
Well, you know, as you fish the FLW trail and now being a part of their television broadcast and some of those kind of things, are you growing, do you think, as an angler? I mean, you know, you're not 20 years old anymore, so you're you know, it's now the seasoned veteran is how I look at Kim Stricker.
That's right, 54 years old, and I'm starting a new business.
That's great, though. I mean,
you guys are thinking, I can't sit still. As you can see by all the things I do, I'm constantly learning. I'm not the kind of guy that can sit down and read a book, but I can read a manual. I can read a magazine. I can read, and I like to learn, and I'm constantly learning, and that's learning this video editing. I've spent the last 2 years, and I gotta say, and I don't thank them enough, is I want to thank Mike and Becky Auten from Auten Interactive. They do a great job with their classic patterns, but they were very instrumental in helping me start video editing, and I could always call them when I had some troubles, so I want to thank them.
Well, you know, Kim, tell me a little bit about where we can get your video and tell me the name of it again, if you would.
It's Smallmouth Neighborhood, Volume 1, Follow the Forage. It's basically learning how to follow the forage. It's available on my website, and that's www.kimstrickerproductions.com.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. I look for these great television shows coming out, and I'll know the guy that's got the mask on when I see him swimming around.
That's right.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for being with us at Bass Fan Radio.
I certainly appreciate it, Terry. Thank you.
I'm Terry Brown, and this indeed has been Bass Fan Radio.